as I read today's gospel with its description of people jockeying for places of honor and trying to get influence and throwing banquets to arouse people's admiration and attention, I can't help but think of the way it sounds a lot like some of what I noticed in my time in Washington, D.C. over the last 3 years. This is kind of the political way in Washington, everyone trying to see how they can move up the next rung on the ladder, how to get ahead, and which influential people you need to know, and you know what parties you should go to, and if I hold a party, who should I invite so I can kind of get an in with them. It's always a little interesting in the political crowd there in Washington when, as they say, there ain't no free lunch, and if anyone invites you to their party, you kind of have to know, all right, what do they want, and what are they trying to get? It is a climate in which, especially there, everyone seems so bent on themselves. How can I get the most for me? How can I get ahead? Who do I have to put down to get there? And what is necessary for me to gain an advantage? This is the kind of thing that Jesus is kind of noticing in our gospel today. People are throwing parties to get influence. People who go to parties are trying to find how they can influence the right people and gain prestige. But Jesus cautions that the Christian life is much the opposite of this. Rather, Jesus says that it's the one who humbles himself that will be exalted, and the one who exalts himself will be humbled. What Jesus is getting at is that ultimately the Christian life is not about how much can I get, how can I increase. Rather, it's what John the Baptist said of his life: how can God increase? And I must decrease. At the root of it is that to be a Christian means not getting, but giving. In fact, the greatest happiness of a Christian is to know that my whole life is meant to be a gift to somebody else. That it's not about me. My life is about much more than me. And that I am happiest when I'm giving. You know, it's really like this in every parish, that it seems like there's a small little group. They say 10% of the people at the parish do 90% of all the volunteering, the financial contributing. It's always the same. I think it's maybe a little bit better out here in the country because everybody really has to be involved with the parish, or we wouldn't be able to maintain our little parishes. But yet it does seem true that the people who are always giving are often the same people that volunteer for everything. I think it's because they've found out what Jesus is trying to get us to see in the gospel, that to be a giver and a cheerful giver is in fact a great joy. In some extent, these people have found the secret that to make a gift, in fact, enriches me. I become happier. I was thinking about that these past couple weeks as being a new pastor here in the parishes. It's interesting that I come at the time where the fiscal year changes over on the 1st of July. And so one of the things that has to happen right away is that we have to prepare a big annual report to send into the Archdiocese to detail how much money we got, how did we spend it, are we being good stewards. You got a small summary of that last week in the bulletin, our end of the year financial statement. And, you know, I was really edified as I went through this process for the first time to see really just how generous everybody is in this parish, and how a lot more, I think, than 10% have caught on to this joy of being a cheerful giver. So it's really edified me to see how wonderful you all are and how you support the parish here. In a strange sort of way, though, too, it's also brought me a little bit closer to my dad. My dad, who you met a couple weeks ago, is an accountant. And I'm a software engineer by trade, and my dad has always been on me that I didn't take any business classes. And all through seminary, he's like, you seminarians, you can't be priest without some business classes. You got to take some accounting. How are you going to be a priest? I'm like, Dad, if I need that later, I'll learn it. And then he's on the finance council at his parish. And for the last 8 years of priesthood, he's like, you need some accounting. You are never going to be able to take care of parish. You don't know any accounting. I'm like, Dad, if I need to know accounting, eventually I will learn it. Well, it was time to learn, because I had a bunch of financial statements all over sitting in front of me and trying to make heads or tails of things, and it is kind of neat, because I would call home, and I'm like, oh, hi, Mom, where's Dad? I need my accountant, and we would talk, and it was really nice the other day. He actually gave me his first accounting book from college, and So I was looking at that and learning how to read all this. And with all the detail in there, it is beautiful to see behind all that details are a lot of people who love God and really are on fire with that spirit of giving and support the parish. But, you know, I'd like to share with you a little bit today my own experience of kind of financial stewardship and giving. I've mentioned before that I really kind of came alive in the faith at my time at the University of Kansas at the St. Lawrence Catholic Campus Center. Now, here's a place that isn't like a normal parish, so there's not like a huge group of parishioners to contribute, because most of the parishioners at St. Lawrence are students. And I think, like most students, I was not very good about being financially generous to the center, I think, when I was a student. I somehow reasoned that, well, I'm a poor college student, and I can't support the center. There are rich benefactors that will support the center. And so, at least as I remember, I don't think I was all that generous. I might have tossed a little bit of money in there as I had some. But then I graduated, and all of a sudden I had a salary, I had a good job as a software engineer, and I wanted to be able to support the center, so I wasn't surprised that the development office at St. Lawrence called me up and they wanted to go to lunch. Now, this is good because I knew they wanted to talk about money, and that's fine because I wanted to know how I could help because it had meant so much to me. But it was interesting because it wasn't just that they wanted to ask me about making some financial gifts to St. Lawrence, but they actually wanted to lay out for me kind of a financial stewardship plan. And so here's what I learned. I think a lot of people, when they they see the collection basket come around, that maybe we take out our wallet and we kind of toss in whatever we've got, or they really encouraged me to be deliberate about what I was going to do for my financial stewardship. And so they said, pick your number, your percentage of what you're going to give to God financially. Starting with the idea, of course, that it's all God's. And if we talk about what should I give to God, it's all His. Everything we've been given comes from God. But if we're going to put a number on it, like a percentage, let's say we take the biblical number of 10%, a tithe, that we would tithe 10% of our income to charity. Well, he said, what you need to do then is take your 10% and say 6% of that should go to your parish. That's your primary financial thing that we need to support. So 6% to the parish. And then 1% to the Archdiocese, that annual Call to Share campaign. And then the other 3% to other charities. Because I had other things I wanted to support, like the Boy Scouts and some other charities and things. So to this day, every year, I do my taxes myself, and I look and I see how much money I made. And then I break that up into my 6 and my 1 and my 3. And I balance each year to see, did I contribute? Do I need to add a little bit more? What do I need to do each month in contributing? So you can see there's a little bit of my dad in me in the accounting. I really do know where all my money goes and keep track of it all. But the thing I learned from this was how important it is not just to kind of haphazardly say that, well, I'll give God what's left over or whatever I happen to have this week or, whatever it is, to be deliberate about it. To ultimately to say, I'm going to pay God first. I have a plan. And it doesn't matter if I go away for the summer or whatever. I'm never going to stop my plan of contributing. Pay God first. Because ultimately, the whole goal of life is to put God first. The only thing that will keep us out of heaven is that we're too selfish. That's why Jesus is so concerned in the gospel. If we're going to get to heaven, we have to become unselfish and detached from the things of this world. So pay God first to put God first. So one of the things that came to my mind when I thought of that, a beautiful example in my own life that I saw of putting God first, actually came when I was living in the Holy Land during seminary. I had a beautiful chance from my seminary to spend 3 whole months living in the Holy Land. One day we took a little trip to a refugee camp out in the Judean wilderness. It was, to call it a town would be an overstatement. The little houses, which weren't really houses, were just, bits of scrap metal that people could push together to kind of have a roof over their head, maybe some rocks or something dug out of the dirt. They were not really houses of any sort. But in the middle of this little collection of shanties, right in the middle of their town, was a solidly constructed cinder block stone mosque with, of all things, a gold-painted dome on top of it. It stood out amongst the entire town because while everyone else was living in little shanties, here was God's house that was beautifully constructed, painted, had a gold dome on top. I was so impressed by that. I got a chance to meet with the mayor of the little town, and quite an interesting thing, and some of the city council, if you will, quite a group of characters. But I don't speak Arabic, so through a translator, you know, I told them that I was so impressed that they had given the best to God. Their own houses weren't much, but God's house stuck out as beautiful, and I really appreciated that. Well, I could see as the translator informed the mayor and the council of what I was saying, all of them started to just kind of groan, like, yes, And they were very, very happy, I could tell, by what I had said, and they said back through the translator that God was the most important thing in their town, and they are glad that I had noticed that that's why they did that. This is a town that could have easily said, look, we've got nothing. We don't even have a place to live, so if we can get a cinder block at least or something, let's at least get our house taken care of first, and then we'll see, you know, about building a mosque. We need a house. We don't need a mosque. This town did the opposite. They said, God's house first. If what something's left over, fine, that'll be our house. But God first. I couldn't help but think of that when I looked at our psalm response today. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. And I thought, you know, in this little town, it's almost the opposite. That in their goodness, the poor have made a home for God in their little town. And they put him first. That is ultimately the goal of any kind of stewardship, of whether it be financial resources or our talents. It's to put God first and us last. To take the lowest seat at the table, knowing that God sees. And ultimately, if we do that, we find joy. So I thank you so much for the generous contributions that you make to the parish and the way you do put God first. I challenge you to do even better. One of the things I notice about this parish is we can't afford to hire a bunch of staff and people like they could at a big parish to take care of things. We rely a lot on people with skills that donate not just money but their time. You know, they work on something because they're a carpenter or a plumber or electrician and say, you know, that's okay, Father, no charge. Or, you know, they kick it back into the collection the next week. That's what makes little places like this go. And I think that's what draws us together so much as a family. That we know as a little family here, we have to take care of each other. And when we do that, we realize, again, it's not about me. It's about God first, then other people, then me. That's the secret to the whole Christian life, right there. So it's important that we get our financial stewardship right, because that ultimately says, are we getting our priorities right? So I thank you for all you've done. And if you have questions about the parish financial statement or things, please do talk to me, and we can certainly share about that more. And I just ask you that, you know, if you're looking, how much should I give? How much should I contribute my time financially? You know, it's really a question of, you know, priorities, but then how much? Well, it's ultimately a question of, well, how happy do you want to be? There's a great joy in the Christian life to be a giver. So how happy do you want to be?